President?
Yes, Scoop.
I'm sorry to bother you on a Sunday.
I'm glad to hear from you.
Well, you're my leader, you know. And let me just relate briefly a situation. A week ago, I had the first contact from the president-elect through one of his people, Bryce Harlow. You know Bryce.
Yes.
And it was about Secretary of Defense. And I said that I had personal problems and I had other considerations, but that I was glad to talk with him. Then I had another call yesterday from Bryce saying that the president-elect wanted to talk to me. And he did call me a couple of hours ago. I called you right after I heard from him. And he wants me to do it. I told him that there were real problems involved. I said I wanted to help him in every way I could in the national security area. I said this is what Roosevelt did, this is what Truman did, and I said this is what Kennedy and President Johnson has always done. There should be any partisanship in this area. I said that I will do that regardless, but I said I had these reservations. And there are problems such as my successor, who would be a Republican, and so on. Well, at the end of it, he said, well, I think I can do something about the appointment of your successor. And what I did is that I told him that I was going to have to obviously consider this matter very carefully, that I had great reluctance, that I thought I could be a greater help in the Senate. In this national security area, we can differ on domestic matters, that I would let him know by Tuesday or Wednesday he wanted to get some feedback from me. And I said I would be talking to some of my personal friends in a very discreet way without embarrassing him. I've been very careful not to give anything to the press, as you may know. So I thought I'd call you first. And just get your early reaction, and then maybe I could talk to you again.
Well, I think it's a great tribute to you. I think it's a deserved one. I think that you could do the job as few men can do it. You would have the complete respect and affection and support of all of this administration, and I think of it a little bit selfishly in terms of my boys that are out there. We got 560,000 of them, and I feel very close to them, particularly my own two. And I just don't think there's any place except the presidency itself and maybe Secretary of State where you have an opportunity to do so much, so quick, so effectively. I think it's probably the greatest administrative executive job in the world. And I think that you would have around you some married people that could give you backup for 4 years, that you would have the satisfaction of probably saving your country, and when you got out, I think that you could just head anything that there is in the United States. And at your age, I would look upon it with a good deal of understanding. I don't know about your family and about your successor and those things. I've always felt that I ought to do everything I could to help any president get anybody he needs. Because the poor devil is always short of troops.
Yes, sir.
And you have given me nothing but pleasure and great comfort. And I can't say that for everybody, but I sure can for you and your wife and your children. And I would like very much for you to do it if it didn't adversely affect you. You'll have to look at that yourself and look at your state. I'd try to work it out where I could name a successor, someone of a non, that's not too political, that is for the people, and then I think that whatever you wanted to do at the end of 4 years or 8 years, you could do. I really think you have an obligation to do it unless it hurts your family and hurts you some way that I can't see. First of all, I think you're better than anybody he's likely to get. And I think you have the respect of the outgoing administration, and you will have the incoming administration. And I think you would give I think you'd give him help that he needs, and you would certainly do it in wartime. And he's in 3 or 4 wars right now, in the Middle East, and the Eastern European situation is not good. Latin America is just seething, and I just can't say enough for you. Whatever you do, I'll be for. And I'm not sure my judgment's good on what you should do. But if you want to know what I would think about it, I'd throw my hat in the air.
Yes, sir.
And I'm very proud of Nixon for thinking of this, because I just don't think you could find a better man anywhere.
Well, you're very generous, Mr. President.
No, I'm just analytical.
I recommended to him Clark Clifford. And I said that, in my judgment, he has a keen mind, keen analytical mind, and I've worked with him, and we think alike, and I have nothing but the greatest admiration for him. Maybe a little later I could do something. I've got, you know, problems. I have my sister quite ill, and so on. And I explained to him about the possibility of, if a Republican is named, and which it would be under Nixon, it would mean one less Democrat. And to that, of course, he responded that he thought he could do something about it. I assume he could, possibly. But I didn't want to. I said he would be hurt, and I'd be hurt if the story was that Jackson just got out and turned the seat over to a Republican with the vote being fairly close to the Senate. That would make my task more difficult for him in dealing with the Democratic side. And he understood that, and he just kind of left it that he said that he might do something about it. I have, Mr. President, I want to say that I have great reluctance about this. I realize it's an honor, and I realize it's a great opportunity, but that I am in a reluctant state of mind. That's the way I left it with him, but I said I'd support that.
What was his reaction on Clifford?
He said nothing. I got no response. And I really made it strong. I said he just couldn't make a mistake on it. But he wasn't, he just didn't respond. He wasn't adverse.
Well,
he just said, I appreciate that, and then went on to something else.
I just couldn't think of anybody that has done a better job than Clifford on everything, and I feel very happy with him, and I think he's been superb. On the other hand, I think you'd make a mistake to dismiss it lightly.
I'm not. Oh, I'm not dismissing it lightly. I just am torn, as you can appreciate. It's a real tough one. I was going to talk to Dick Russell and John Stennis if you thought that.
Yes, I couldn't. I don't think you could get anybody better judgment than theirs. And
taking over the Appropriations Committee, and John Stennis has taken over the Armed Services Committee.
I think their judgment would be good. And
have you heard anything on this, sir?
Not a thing, except I just several days ago heard that he was considering you, and. My comment was that if I were in his place, I just thought it would be the best. I think you've got to understand that there's only been two or three men served in this job, the Forrestal McNamara and I guess Neil McElroy, but I just think this is quite a break, and I know the Senate is important, but your country's more important than anything. There's 100 senators, and there's just one man can do this, and there's not many men that could just call me up and get me to go along on anything, or Hubert, or Russell, or the others, and that we'd have confidence in, and that he would have confidence in, and you'd have to be absolutely loyal to the president and to his administration, but I have had that in all of my secretaries, and you don't have to be political to do it, and I just think that you would you could do it very effectively, and our country needs it very much now, and I don't believe it to you can be of one-tenth the value in the Congress you can there. And I don't think you can think of self very much.
No,
there are guys that are losing arms and legs right there tonight, and I just think that you ought to give them the backup that you can. You've done a good job in the Senate, but this far exceeds, you have no idea how far reaching it is.
Well, I do, Mr. President. I was just hoped that with the progress that Clifford has made, that he would be retained because, after all, he's been a first-rate professional.
Well, I think in that connection that he probably considered that before he talked to you, don't you reckon?
Yes, sir.
And he probably has reasons for his decision.
I'm told that I am the first one he has put it to directly.
Yeah.
I'm told that Mr. Rockefeller was in his office and they had a very inconclusive discussion, and they didn't offer him anything. And it was, not a very happy breakfast. But I don't know, this is just a report back
Yep.
from one of his top people.
Yep.